It's one of the most familiar stories Jesus told in the Bible. I have no doubt that a few minutes ago when Kristen was leading us in our children's message, that you knew exactly what she was talking about, because it seems as though this is one of those parables, one of those stories that Jesus told that everybody seems to know about. Even if they don't go to church, they know the story. How a farmer went out to scatter some seed, and some of the seed fell on hard ground, and some seed fell on rocky soil, and some seed fell among the weeds and the thorns, but some fell on the good ground. Later on, his disciples asked him to explain what was that all about. Jesus had this wonderful habit of telling people stories, and then he would never go on to explain those things except to the people who stayed behind. When the Bible talks in this point about his disciples, it's not just talking about the 12. It's talking about those people who had gotten serious about what Jesus was teaching and who Jesus was and what Jesus was calling people to do. And he waited until the folks that were just kind of there to hear a story and hope for a meal or to see a healing had all gone away. And then they came to Jesus and they said, "So what was that story all about?" And Jesus said to them, "Well, it's simple. The seed is the Word of God. The seed is what God wants His people to know. The seed always carries potential to change things, to transform lives. Different people respond to God's Word in different ways, and they still do the same thing today." And today, as we continue through a month of focusing on the Word of God and what a powerful thing it is in the lives of people who belong to Him, I want us to look at the parable of the seeds and how you respond to God's written Word and how it can change or not change your life. So let's dig in and let's see how people respond to the seed that Jesus says is the Word of God. And the first thing you see is this: some people just reject the Word of God. Jesus called them the people on the wayside. These are people who never even take time to consider what God has said. It's easy to find a person who is on the wayside, because what you'll discover is if you say, "Show me your Bible," they will respond in one of two ways. Either they will say, "I don't have one, I've never needed one, I don't see any use in one," or they'll pick their Bible up and they'll blow off the dust and then hand it to you. Either way, you recognize, I am one of those people who has no need, no use for the Word of God. I don't listen to it in church. I don't read it for myself. I don't expose myself to its teachings. I have no need for the Word of God. I like that term wayside because it makes me think about those folks that you see every Friday night or every Saturday or maybe even on Sundays when they're watching a ball game. They're those people that sit in the stands and criticize everything that's done and correct every decision that's made, but they never think about getting in the game. Oh, it's easy for me to find fault. It's easy for me to reject. It's easy for me to turn away. But don't ask me to do it. I don't want to be out there. And I think about that when I hear that word wayside. Jesus said this. He said, "They hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." What kind of people are wayside kind of people? Well, this is what I think. Wayside kind of people are busy people. Their minds are occupied with their own plans. They think about where they're going, what they're doing, what they're planning for tomorrow. They are so preoccupied with what's going on in their own lives, with their own plans, that they don't have time to stop and say, "I wonder what God has to say to me. I wonder where God wants to lead me. I wonder what God is up to." Those things never occur to wayside people, because wayside people have minds that are full of their own plans and their own priorities. They're so preoccupied that they never pick up the Word and allow it to penetrate their hearts. They just hang in there and think about their own things. They may hear the word from time to time, but they'll never allow it to sink in. And the enemy comes and prevents them from letting the Bible confront them and contradict their lives and change their beliefs and transform their hearts. Wayside people are people who make little things so big that the biggest thing of all escapes their notice. They are so occupied with little things. Now, what is a little thing? A little thing is something that may seem like a big thing today. It may seem like a very big thing right now, but the truth is, a week from now, you won't remember what that big thing was. And because you're so preoccupied with those things that seem so big at the moment, you don't see the very biggest thing of all. And so people in the wayside never come to know the Lord. They never come into a personal relationship with God. Well, that sounds so obvious, but when you think about it, there are a lot of people who think, I can do anything I need to do spiritually without hearing or reading or being exposed to the Word of God. For instance, some people refuse to believe because they think, I don't need that. I don't need to meet Jesus. They are convinced that eventually everybody's going to heaven anyway. It really doesn't matter whether I pay attention. It doesn't matter whether I read it. It doesn't matter whether it's part of my life. Because the truth is, in the end, when we die, God says to all of us, let's just let bygones be bygones and you come on in. There's a place for everybody in heaven. Other people may believe there's really no such thing as eternal life. You live, you die, the end. And they are convinced that the best thing you can do is live your life right now. You remember Jesus told the story about the man who was building bigger barns, and he said, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Do everything you can with this life here because there is no life there. And they believe that's true, and so they say, why in the world would I expose myself to the Word of God? And so many people think, I can have a relationship with Christ, but I'll do it under my own rules. I don't have to know what the Bible says. I can make it up and it will be just fine. I'll never forget, and may have shared before, I remember years ago visiting a fellow in the hospital and he was not going to be leaving that hospital. And I was talking to him about Christ because his family was always at church, but he was never there. And I remember he said to me, you have to understand, God and I, we have our own special relationship. And I don't need Jesus. And that's how he died. And an instant later, he found out he was wrong. Wayside people think, I can do this apart from the Lord and apart from His Word. The problem is, none of those things they believe are found in the Bible. Instead, the Bible gives us an inescapable truth. It says, there is a narrow way that leads to heaven and a wide way that leads to destruction. The Bible says, you either repent or you face destruction. The Bible says, in the end, some are lost and some are found. The Bible says, Jesus is the only way to heaven. That's what the Bible says. And if you're a wayside believer and you have rejected exposure to the Word and you think I can handle it, you need to know that's what God says. Because we really do believe this is God's book. Not a book of suggestions, but a book of truth. And you got to face the truth when it's easy and when it's hard. When it comforts you and when it confronts you, you got to believe this is the Word of God. But there are some people who are wayside people. And they're going to hear it, and they're going to be exposed to it, but they're going to neglect it, and they're going to turn away from it, and it will never have an opportunity to change eternity. And then Jesus tells us that some people approach the Word of God casually. Jesus said, these are the ones who, when they hear, receive the Word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in times of temptation, fall away. What is he talking about? He's talking about people who receive the Word very casually. Hear today and gone tomorrow. They hear the Word, respond to the Word, but only superficially. It never penetrates to the point that it transforms their lives. Do you believe in the Bible? Without a doubt, I believe in the Bible. Survey after survey after survey over the years has always said, when people are asked the question, do you believe the Bible is true? Do you believe the Bible is God's Word? You'll always find the number of people is somewhere around 90%. But when you continue on and you say, and so do you read the Bible? Do you know what it says? That number drops down to about 40%. What's going on? There's a lot of people who believe very casually. Yeah, I believe the Bible is true. I have no doubt every bit of it is real. Well, so do you read it? Are you searching for God to tell you what to do and how to live? No, I don't have time for that. I've got other things. Here's the thing about a casual believer. They love Jesus when the crowd loves Jesus. But when things get hard, their faith fades away. If I'm in a group of folks and those people love the Lord and those people are talking about God's Word, I'm going to be right in the middle of it. But if I'm in another situation, a different environment with different people, I'm going to change my mind or keep my mouth shut. It just can't last in the long term. I've known a lot of people like that over the years. When things are fun and exciting at church, when all your friends are there and everything's going on, they can't get enough. They're full of enthusiasm about what's going on. Then one day you look around and they're gone. Why do casual believers fail? They fail because their experience of Christ is based on emotional response and not on truth. I'm excited about Jesus because everybody else is excited about Jesus, and it's exciting to be excited about Jesus. But I don't really want to know, what is the truth? What is he teaching me? What is he telling me? I just want to feel good. I would decide whether the service was a great service or not by whether or not I feel wonderful when I leave. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you don't. The important thing is not how you feel. It is, have I been exposed to God's holy truth, His unchanging Word? Casual believers never feel the need to experience the discipleship that comes from knowing and trusting the Bible. I'm willing to let somebody else handle it. I don't have to handle it for myself. And when living for Christ gets hard, they don't have the spiritual roots to see them through. See, here's part of the problem. Usually when you're a casual believer, you think, faith in Christ makes me bulletproof. Nothing bad is ever going to happen in my life. I am never going to struggle. It is never going to be tough. Bad things are never going to happen to me because, after all, I belong to Jesus. The problem is, Jesus is also the one who said, as long as you're in this world, you will have tribulations. He's made a different promise, and it is, there are going to be tough times in your life. There are going to be tough times in everybody's life. And that doesn't mean God has turned away, and it doesn't mean the Lord has forgotten you. It just means that as long as you live in a broken, sinful world, bad things can happen and will. But for a casual believer, when those bad things happen, they are disappointed in God, in their circumstances, in the Bible. It all let me down. And rather than letting difficulty deepen their faith, it causes their faith to wither away. And soon they're gone. Casual faith can never stand the test of time. That's what Jesus taught his disciples. And then Jesus says this, and some people are distracted from the Word of God. Jesus described them as those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Here's the ironic thing, I think. If casual believers fall away when things go wrong, thorny believers fall away when things are going right. Casual believers are hanging in there until it gets tough. Thorny believers allow other things to become so important that they forget their commitment to Jesus. Instead of being disappointed, these people are distracted. They never deny their faith. They're quick to tell you they believe what the Bible says. They're just too busy to actually seek out what God wants to say to them. They're satisfied with what they hear in church. They're content to have a Bible around. But here's the problem. When everything is fine, it's easy to pay attention to temporary pleasures rather than searching for the things of God. We don't have time for testimonies this morning, but if we did, and if I ask you the question, when did you feel closer to God than any other time in your life? I would be willing to say very few people in this room would say, you know, the time when I felt closest to God is when everything was going my way. When life was comfortable and everything was easy and I didn't have any struggles in my life, boy, that's when I felt the presence of God. Most of us would say, in those times when I had nowhere else to go, I turned to Jesus, and He was faithful. I trusted God's Word, and it spoke truth into my life. Not during those easy times, but during those tough times. See, it's simple to lead a distracted life. You don't reject Christ, you just become preoccupied with other things. You never say, I turn away from Him, you just turn toward everything else that's going on in those days. And the Bible constantly challenges believers to ask themselves a very basic question. Is the main thing in my life? Is the main thing the main thing? Or have I allowed something else to become more important than the main thing? Is Jesus truly Lord of who I am? This is how Campus Crusade described it when I was really first becoming serious about following Jesus and as a senior in high school. I remember that they taught us that life is like a big circle. And everything going on in your life is inside that big circle. And in the middle of that circle, there's a chair. And also inside that circle was a stick man and a cross. And Campus Crusade taught us, ask yourself this question, who gets the chair? Pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty easy to understand. Who gets the chair? Who sits on the throne in my life? And a distracted believer would struggle to answer that question. A distracted believer would say, look, I love having Christ in my life. I have no doubt I want that cross inside the circle of my life. But they really struggle with the idea of giving up that throne, even to the Lord. That's why it's critical that we come to the Bible with a basic conviction. I will read and obey what God tells me. I will read and obey the truth of His Word. Lord, if you show me what you want me to do, if you teach me what you want me to believe, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to accept it. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to obey it. Distracted believers need to remember not to allow everything else to choke out a dynamic faith and have to go back to the basic issue of obedience. You see, Christ calls us to an abundant faith. This is what Jesus said. He said, those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. I love those last two words, with patience. What does that mean? That means when you recognize, I have chosen to follow Jesus, I have believed his word, I will depend upon what he tells me. It means for a lifetime. With patience, from now on. Abundant believers build their lives around the truth of the Word of God. They trust what it says when things get hard. They believe the Word when distractions are all around them. And because of that trust, their lives bear fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. In other words, abundant faith is a result of allowing the seed of the Word to sink into your life and produce a harvest. When it comes to it, God's plan for you is that you expose your life to the truth of the Word of God and let it bear fruit. Let it change you and let it change the people around you because it's growing inside of you. So the question you need to ask yourself today is a very simple one. So how do I receive the Word of God? If Jesus says these are the four kinds of people who receive the word, where do I find myself? Do I find myself resisting what God is saying? Do I find myself treating his word casually? Do I allow other things to become more valuable? Or am I ready to trust the word and put the Lord on the throne? And that's the decision that we have to make. So when I ask you the question this morning, how are you doing with your own Bible study? Not what happened in Sunday school this morning, not what was talked about in church today. In your own time, when you expose yourself to the Word, what's been happening? Do you find yourself brushing it off? Do you find yourself distracted by other things? Do you find yourself encountering things in the Word that are hard, so you say, I think I'll leave that part out of my faith? Or do you trust? Are you willing to make the main thing in your life? And the main thing in your life, according to God's Word, is your relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing else matters more than that simple fact. Do I have a living, submitted, trusting relationship with Jesus Christ? Has that time come in my life when I said to him, forgive my sins, come into my life, save me? If not, today may be the day when you need to come into a relationship with Jesus. Just a minute, we're going to stand, we're going to sing an invitation hymn. If you need to trust him, I'm going to be right here at the front. You just come down during that song, and I'll be glad to introduce you to the Savior. Or maybe the Lord's calling you to be part of what he's doing in this fellowship, and you want to bring your membership here. Maybe you need to follow him through baptism, the way Maggie did this morning. Is there something God wants you to do? We're going to stand, we're going to sing. As God speaks to your heart, you come. Let's stand together. been good. We got to share this time in worship today. I'm glad that you're here to be a part of it. Look forward to tonight. I'll see you at 6 o'clock right out front. We're going to have a great time together. And we just look forward to trusting God and walking in His Word between this Sunday and next. So let's bow together for closing prayer and then one final song. Father, we do thank You that You remind us that we get to choose what kind of soil we're going to be and how we're going to receive Your Word. But Father, we pray, help us, Lord, to be good soil, open and receptive, ready to respond, trusting in You. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.